Yes, good morning, and welcome to the City of Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District regularly scheduled meeting for Thursday, March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And I'd like to call the meeting to order. At this time, we'll open the meeting up for public comment. Any members of the audience wishing to step forward and address the board, please do so. State your name, and your comments should be limited to 3 minutes. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Janice Peters, and I'm here speaking of something that just happened on the promotion committee meeting. I had suggested that we establish a local film commission contact, and the promotion committee did agree to that. It would be something that would benefit both that board and this one. So we're going to be putting together some budget information, and then I'll send you the report that I gave to our board so that you're aware of what we're talking about. It's also something that the county is working on and is very important on that level as well. So hopefully this will just be one city's part of an overall county film commission that will be organized with the new VCB organization. But our local one is going to get started right off the bat. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. John Solu. I'm here with, believe it or not, with the Morro Bay Oyster Company. I'm here to announce to you guys our new once-in-a-lifetime package that we put together, acres of farmable Oyster Bay land that is currently being farmed. There are approximately over 1 million oysters with two oyster companies that are back there farming that area. So basically, you'll be going through a tour of the farm and then coming back to Stacks for some wine and some oysters. And for the public, it's $25 a person. We will start this April 2nd. We just at the preliminary stages of setting our phone line up and everything, and we'll be passing out brochures. And for those that are in the packaging committee and the subcommittee, we will have a special price set aside. Well, I guess I'll make it public. It will be $5 off for hotels. So basically, you can set it up as a hotel package in your rooms where you can add it up with your room price and have an oyster farm package. And we have already in the process of putting some people together for doing some tours, organized tours of, unfortunately, we can only take 25 people at a time because of the size of our boat. And that's with the Lost Isle. We're excited about it, and we'll be starting next Saturday. And we'll have all the brochures out to everybody early next week. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Oh.
Can you leave a few brochures here for us? Thanks.
Top of the morning to you. Do you
Good
know
morning.
What your response is supposed to be? And the rest of the day for yourself. So I'm a teacher. I'll try that one more time. Remember your response and the rest of the day to yourself. Top of the morning to you.
The rest of the day to yourself.
Thank you. I would appreciate that and like that. Okay, I'm Marlene Peter. And I'm the chair of the Morro Bay Community Foundation. And the Morro Bay Community Foundation is a nonprofit organization that provides scholarships for children from financially stressed families to participate in all of the youth activities and sports activities that Parks and Recreation provide. And it's trolley season now. And Morro Bay Community Foundation and the city of Morro Bay have a unique partnership to sell advertising spaces on the trolleys. And we have three trolleys that traverse the city during the summer months. And there's lots of spaces on there to purchase advertising. And by purchasing advertising, explains our partnership, and it explains the value of advertising on these spaces on the trolleys. And we're also asking that you allow us to be a non-monetary partners with you, because in these efforts, and this is a really easy way for you and for us to support the foundation and to help the children in Morro Bay, Los Osos, and Cayucas who need help. And just for instance, I don't know how many of you know, but say that you want to enroll your child in soccer. It costs about $100. And a lot of parents, if they have two or three children, absolutely can't afford that. So we are providing, at this point, we are providing 40% of the program. So out of that 100, we would provide $40 worth. Hopefully we're going to get back to where we can do 50, and then at one point in time we actually were providing 60% of the program. So we've been doing a good job, and then things kind of went downhill with the economy, but we're working ourselves back up. And I do want to say one, do I have a little more time, Joan?
A couple seconds.
Okay, because I want you to, we have one of our fundraisers coming up is the Moore Bay Community Foundation Spaghetti Dinner, Dixon Spaghetti Dinner, which is next Friday night, the 25th, at the Community Center. But just in today's Bay News, page 7, there's an article titled Girls Team Up for Youth Sports. It's an incredible article about the foundation and about the spaghetti dinner. I mean, we have the whole top half of the page. So if you want to know more about the foundation and more about the dinner, please pick up one of these Bay News from today. It's a good, good article. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marlene.
Good morning. I'm Dan Podesto, the president of Morro Bay Forth. I have a couple of things. First, I'd like to just thank this board for their very generous, I don't know whether the right sponsorship or donation, your generous support to the 4th of July event this year. Since the funds were granted from this board, we've really seen fundraising throughout the rest of the community really pick up and gain momentum. So as you did last year, I think this year you really helped spark the interest in this event and the community support. Dress up in Hawaiian attire, because we're going to be having Hawaiian shirt contests, hula contests. We have professional hula dancers there, in case you don't quite know what you're doing, they'll be able to coach you along. We're going to have live music, a live auction. There's a lot going on at this event. We also have Lost Isle Adventures offering free bay boat cruises throughout the day. And everything is being very generously donated by Lost Isle Adventures and the Harbor Hut, so 100% of your $20 ticket buy goes directly to fireworks and to the 4th of July event. So,
can you repeat the time and date?
Yes, it is this Sunday, March 20th, rain or shine, at the Harbor Hut, which is on the 1205 Embarcadero, and it begins at 2 o'clock and goes until we are out of food and drinks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Bill Yates. Here I am, finally. I have followed you since the beginning. I've watched all the meetings live. I have a lot of interaction with Craig and with Joan and Michelle, and of course almost daily with Andrea. So I know what's going on, and I am watching. And if any of you ever need me, I'm the easiest guy in town to track down. So I thank you for your service and appreciate you guys a lot. So
thank you. Any more members of the audience wishing to step forward for a public comment should do so now. Seeing no members coming forward, I'd just like to thank everyone, Janice, John, Marlene, Dan, and Bill, for speaking. And I'll close public comment at this time. I'll look for board announcements. Are there any announcements from the board? Yes, Craig.
Marlene, thank you for being here and everything that you do with the Community Foundation. The Chamber would be happy to put a blast out to all the business members within the Chamber of Commerce on the trolley program. So if you can get this to me electronically, I'll make sure that it goes out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can help.
Thank you. And also tonight is the Chamber of Commerce Mixer. It's a partnership with the Los Osos Chamber of Commerce, and it is at Coast National Bank on Morro Bay Boulevard from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. Be sure to wear your green, because there'll be some pinchers in the crowd. Thank you.
Any other board?
And includes a tri-tip dinner. So this Saturday evening in this building. Thank you.
And I have two announcements. Marlene stole my thunder with the Morro Bay Community Foundation spaghetti fundraiser dinner. And I'd also like to announce that the Del Mar Elementary School, which is who are California Distinguished Elementary School here in town. It's the only elementary school, has 430 plus kids, and they're doing a really great job. They have the highest test scores in the county with the largest Title I school, and they are having their biggest fundraiser of the year, which is their carne asada barbecue and a silent and live auction, and that's coming up on Sunday, May 10th from 1 to 5. So if you are an artist or someone who's crafty and would like to supply them with a donation, they would be happy to accept that. And also there'll be a CalPlot bingo. I don't think I need to explain that, but those tickets are $10, and that's a CalPlot bingo. You can win $1,000. Okay, off with our... Next is our approval of minutes, the minutes for the January 20th, 2011 meeting, and have been submitted. And did everybody have an opportunity to look those over?
I make a motion that we approve the January 20th, 2011 minutes.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, motion passes to approve the minutes. And now we come up to an item which is monthly reports, but I do see members of our audience that are waiting, and some of them do have to be released. So if it's okay with the board, I would look to move items B and A up to the top of our agenda. Item B going first, which would be the continued discussion and decision on the funding of the San Luis Obispo Visitor and Conference Bureau for the 2011-2012 fiscal year, which is the year coming up. If that would be okay with the board, I'd like to move that one up first and then move A for SAVOR behind it. And would we need to do a motion? If we would need to do a motion, please.
So move.
Okay. So at this time, let's open up the discussion on B, the continued discussion and decision on the funding of the San Luis Obispo Visitors and Conference Center. And we do have some representatives from the VCB in case we have questions. Did everybody have opportunity to look over information and really consider the VCB funding? And are there any questions on what the VCB does for us? I'm looking around. Okay, so to go back to the unfinished business, the VCB had requested $36,000 for funding for the 2011-2012 fiscal year starting July 1st and going through. And as we noted at our last meeting, I believe our discussion included some of the things that they are able to do for us. They brought us Savor the Central Coast in partnership with Sunset Magazine. They attend several trade shows annually that we don't go to. Their site is usually in one of the top three referring sites to morrobay.org, which is extremely important for us. They list the hotels, all of our hotels, and support of them allows access to also our restaurants and retailers to be listed on the website if they choose to be members, and that would be at an additional cost. And then they supplied a report to us of their marketing plan and an overview at the last meeting. So I'm going to poll the board here and see if I can get an idea of how we feel and where we're at. We'll start with you, Nick.
Well, I'm trying to recall, because I know the budget committee met, and it's something that is on our agenda, I believe, but did we figure out budget-wise, would that fit?
Well, the way it worked was last year we gave 24.5, I believe. So this would be for our new budget year, which would be next year's budget.
So it's not
going to affect what we had talked about it really in our meeting.
And it would be one of those fixed costs that we talk about, similar to us funding the visitor center budget, the visitor center funding for Morro Bay Visitor Center contract, what we do here.
Fortunately, the plan does not cover hotel memberships at this time.
I'm sorry, can you state your name?
Noreen Martin, and I'm the current VCB board president for, so I think I'm most qualified to answer that question. They are not included at this time, unfortunately. The goal in that first year would be to include the hotels with the funding that comes from each jurisdiction. We cannot do that with this funding right now. What the goal will be is to increase our restaurant memberships. We already have 60. Restaurant month and wine month is very, very well received from the restaurant. So it seems like a natural to do a countywide restaurant membership. It also seems like an unnatural to do a countywide tourism partners membership. And that'll be the very first thing that will begin to happen. So I'm telling every jurisdiction that by the end of the year, of this fiscal year, we expect to begin to include the memberships. There are some cities that are paying their membership. San Luis is in decision right now whether they pay that or not. And the county TBID will probably pay their memberships. But that's your choice. Pismo has not. Paso Robles, Pismo has voted unanimously, but they are not paying their hotel memberships above the 90,000. Paso Robles has voted unanimously to increase theirs to the 58. That is written here. They did not include their hotel membership. So that would be your choice.
You know what I would like to see, and I don't know if the budget committee is able to do this, but we need to get a comparison budgets, projected comparison budgets, so that we know what we have. It's and I don't know the term for it, but a what-if situation. If our collections are down X amount of percentage, you know, how is this going to be affect? It's an effective type of way to make a decision. I'm very much in favor of being part of the VCB, period, the end. And I do understand that the 36,000 would include Morro Bay being on the site, but the individual hotels, just like in the past, would pay for their own, correct?
Correct.
So what I'm saying has nothing to do with us not being a part. But
Atascadero is up 10%. Atascadero, we are their marketing arm. They are, numbers are skewed because they had a new hotel come on, but not till late. So if San Luis City is definitely up, and the county is climbing, and so is Morro Bay.
No, I totally agree with everything you're saying. What I'm saying is an internal issue here.
Oh, excuse me.
Because we are spending money in a lot of areas and other areas in projection, and we have a new marketing firm coming on in projection with new costs, et cetera, et cetera. And I would just like to see how this is all going to play in the forwards.
Okay. Good suggestion.
Yeah, I agree. Personally, I definitely think we need to be supporting the county efforts. I think, obviously, I sit on the board, so I know everything that they're doing, and they're definitely, I think, the leaders in the county and will continue to be the leaders, and I really think we need to be a part of that. To me, this is almost a no-brainer to support. I mean, of course, the money has went up a little bit, but kind of all of the jurisdictions have. So I know they're really trying to get a fair funding model, and I think that they've done a very good job at doing that. And I think that it's definitely something we should support here because they're doing a lot of county. And I think for this board, and I know on the trade show subcommittee, we've talked about this a lot more, of trying to partner in with them a lot more and do some more things with them. And so to not fund them would put a halt to all of that. So I think it's really important that we continue funding them at this 36,000 level. So that's where I'm at on it.
Thanks, Michelle.
And I think I understood you correctly in that the city of San Luis Obispo, Pismo, and Paso have funded at 100% of the request at this time?
Pismo, Paso, 100%. San Luis will be Friday. Everything I understood from them at the meeting was very clear that, not voted on, that they would fund the 90 as requested, that they were deliberating whether or not to fund their hotels, which they did do last year.
Okay, thank you.
I'm very much in support of establishing the countywide brand, and your visitor's guide is one of the most widely distributed fulfillment pieces that we have at the visitor center. So it's a quality piece, and I really appreciate the efforts on that. So I do support your efforts. I do have the question.
San Luis Obispo, can you tell me where the county is on their portion of the funding?
Yes, the county was very clear in our meeting yesterday, Nikki Schmidt, that they're waiting for the cities to determine that they're going to pay what they consider to be the fair share, and then the county will make their decision how much they're going to fund. I feel very comfortable that they will not decrease our funding. In fact, because of the EVC and the types of things we're doing right now, I think they may leave it the same or increase. I cannot guarantee that, but from all my communication and the presentations that we've done this month and we were able to present before the EVC, and this whole marketing plan was butted out of the EVC. That's number, that would be the number two, if you would read that. It was a recommendation from EVC to move the tourism marketing in this direction for our county, and over 90 people throughout the county participated through the San Luis Obispo County Tourism Cluster Group, which was sponsored by Adam Hill and Frank Meacham, County Board of Supervisors. So there's a large movement to look at us, especially with TOT tax increasing. And we're also asked, we're leaving next week, two of us representing the San Luis Research Conference Bureau, and we're going to be doing a presentation in front of 10 airlines in Salt Lake City, because we're a $1.8 billion industry in the hotel, and our tourism partner, which is the wine industry, is we're a 1.7, they're a 1.8. So they'll be joining us, and we're going to be doing a presentation in front of 10 airlines in hopes to show a dollar amount on our end that we would get another service over in our airport. So the VCP is able to do more of those things because we're getting a tremendous support from the Board of Supervisors. So with that explanation, we're trying to be seen instead of a nonprofit as the nonprofit that's able to create jobs in our county.
Thank you. And have any of the cities made their funding contingent on full funding coming from everybody else?
I think they all feel like that. Everybody's budget goes before approval in July. So I think all the cities are saying, we want everybody in or we're out. I think that's pretty common among the cities.
Everybody's in or everybody's out. Okay. And so with that,
could I just make one comment?
Please. John.
I just wanted to say that just to bring a couple. I also think that, which is your next item, you know, Sunset Savor. I mean, if the county VCB wasn't going to take that charge on to be the promoter of the Sunset Savor, we wouldn't even have the other discussion, because I don't think, I know in Pismo, respectively, they wanted to participate, but they didn't want their city to be responsible. I mean, they wanted it to be on the county of VCB. So I think those are two instances. And then also, just to follow up with what Noreen said, I attended that, was asked to attend that tourism cluster meeting, and I can tell you that whether it was a farmer or a hotelier or anybody, that whole room, that was collectively that we had to promote the county as a brand. I mean, that's what came out of that meeting, that was really important, and I don't think there's any other entity that can do that but the county VCB.
Yeah, Molly put together 24 pages of editorial throughout the entire county. So even the cities that weren't able to participate because it eliminated them from monies to advertise, it's 24 pages of editorial that she collected for this project. Also, the Visitors and Conference Bureau is the one identity that you can go together with items like this, that you don't have to take it for RFP, since we are a nonprofit. That's a huge asset to the BIDs as they collectively go together on these projects. So the U.S. Airways project will be done. I think we're going to have it in time to take with us to Salt Lake City, the 24 pages. So it's very exciting.
Thank you, Noreen.
And someone, I was just going to comment, I believe in Savor the Central Coast Sunset, and someone just has to take the risk for it. And we've stepped up to the plate to take that risk, in the same as Paso Robles has stepped up to the plate to take the risk for Amgen Tour. Someone has to do it, so we're proud to be the ones to do it. But it does take being supported by all the cities and funding and finishing a marketing plan and taking our county to another level, et cetera.
So for the board, Michelle and I sit on your chair and your vice chair go to the county BID Alliance meetings, and that's where all the BIDs come together, Paso, Pismo, San Luis, the county, Morro Bay, you name it, we've got it. And we all sit in on that meeting, and one thing that's clear, and I think John would back me up on this, one thing that's clear is that the VCB is the only one, the only neutral person in the room that doesn't have a stake, and I'm talking about a monetary stake, in the ground regarding what's going on. And so if we didn't have the funding for the VCB, we would go back to all these separate entities and then maybe funding, full funding for the VCB for the 2011-2012 fiscal year. And I would also say that I would look for it to be contingent on every other TBID coming in at their funding, so that they're funding at the level that the VCB requested, and that way we are all working together. Either everybody's in and we've got it going, and I think that that shows a real good way of getting that support mechanism working. And I would just also ask the VCB, as not part of a motion, but ask that they come back to us maybe mid-year with a report of how things are going, and also that they would come back to us and let us know how getting those extra partners for example, for the Wine Alliance, or getting the sustainable farming people in behind them, how that kind of partnership funding is going. So if they could come back maybe at half year. So I would look for a motion. Is there a motion from the board?
I will make the motion to do 100% funding at the requested $36,000, with the contingency that we do find out by mid-year where the rest of the funding from the county has come in.
Second.
I would actually like an amendment to state that the $36,000 is contingent that all of them are in, not mid-year, but prior to the fiscal year. And then having them come back to report just in general where they're at in 6 months. But I don't want to give funding unless everybody's in. And I think that we would need to know that prior to mid-year. I would just need that clarified.
Well, let's say mid-year being June. I think our budget has to be approved by June. So.
And that's what I want to clarify. When I heard mid-year, I thought you meant mid-year budget.
Mid-year fiscal year.
Fiscal year. So you're talking June. Okay. And that, I just wanted to clarify that.
And that was my understanding on my second also.
Any discussion or questions?
My only discussion is that I'm uncomfortable about voting money-wise, not for the VCB at all, until I see a budget. And so when I vote, I'm going to either vote no or abstain.
Well, the thing you need to look at is if you look at our current budget, currently right now there's a line item for VCB funding of 24/7. That line item is going to go up to 36.
Yeah,
and if you look at our fire sale contingency, you still have 23,000 from this is last year's budget, or this year's current budget, but we're.
So we would be careful that we wouldn't, you know, spend money that we didn't have. That would, I would assume, would be the case for this next budget as well. So you know that you're going to have approximately $400,000 or $500,000. So working from that and subtracting out the VCB, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Jane. I think that's important. I mean, the money will be there. It's just a matter of how you allocate the other budget toward that. But I'm confident you would certainly have enough money to fund this, and then it would just be a factor of what else you wanted to do with the budget. But we always purposely estimated lower because we wanted to make sure that we were conservative with those estimates. And I think Andrea can attest that we're on target with those, as far as what we predicted we would collect to what we actually have.
Unfortunately, we don't have a crystal ball, and we'd love to have that. But it's going to hold you up on about every vote if you're going to not have that crystal ball.
Well, I think that I understand that, except that we do have the visitor center. We also have a new proposal for a new marketing firm. We have a lot of things that we have to do, and I think a quick scenario would have been would be prudent. We're in charge of hoteliers' funds.
Right. You're talking $12,000, and if you look at your contingency right now, we're well over that. So, I mean, I totally agree and get what you're saying. I think you're not going to be able to vote on anything, spending any money, if you're going to have that, which you have every right to do. But I'm just saying that it's going to be a tough one because when we did the budget, we did really take the low end of the numbers. We took the lowest numbers possible, and there's still a lot left over here in our availability, and we're at March. We've got a couple more months to go, so.
And I think the projections come out of the city finance office also with help from Susan Slayton, is that correct? And so we will be getting those as we move forward, but we're not through with this year yet. It's tough to not have all the figures in and project for the following year. So we do have a motion on the table. Let's concentrate on the motion we have. Are there any more questions? No. And so we have the motion on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining?
One.
Okay. Abstaining? Okay, thank you very much, Noreen. And before you go, and Molly, thank you so much for everything you do. I just want everybody here to recognize that Noreen Martin is a volunteer. She has put in countless hours, probably a full-time job this year. And Noreen, thank you very much for all you do for the County of San Luis Obispo.
Thank you, and thank you for allowing the plan to go forward. And I think I know as the plan unfolds, you'll be very, very impressed.
Yeah, I know we will. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay, so now we will be moving to A, which is the continued discussion of the decision for funding of the Savor the Central Coast event. And that went back to the trade show subcommittee. The trade show subcommittee has passed out a report to you that's in blue here. And there was the actual Savor event with breakout events, the main event and the breakout events, and then there was, in addition to that, the opportunity for us to do an event here in Morro Bay. And we've come back to you with a report for the actual main event funding today, but we haven't brought you back a report for doing a finale event. As you know, that would take quite a bit of partnership between ourselves, Sunset, the VCB, and additional sponsorship opportunities. And we're still waiting for full information to come in from the additional sponsorship opportunities on who may be interested in supplying those additional sponsorships. So at this time, that's kind of a vague area that's up in the air, and we'll be bringing you a report on that finale event next month. But for this month, what we're looking at is the Sunset Savor the Central Coast main event and the subcommittee reports that are in front of you. When we look at this event, I'm going to ask that when we look at the line that addresses the seafood sponsorship, either oysters or fish or a combination of both, that we take that as a separate motion. I'll need to recuse myself on that issue. So if you can just put a little asterisk by that, and Michelle will lead the discussion on that. But the trade show subcommittee, we met and we talked about the value of the hero shot that we had done last year. And this is the Savor event book that went down into the bags at the event. And that was on the main poster for Savor. It was everywhere. It was on the tickets. It was in Sunset. It was by far a huge value for Morro Bay. We had a huge upswing. It was on their website. We had a huge upswing on that. And we had this nice, I loved how this turned out, this nice full-page ad that came in here. And so that's what we're talking about. When we're talking about that hero shot, we're talking about doing another hero shot for Morro Bay with Morro Rock. And as you know, in this county, there's really only two really distinct shots that you can use that are identifiable with this county. And One is the rock and the other one is that pesky castle, which we all love. We love that pesky castle. And I believe that the county CBID is doing a hero shot of the castle this year. So it's actually very good for us because it kind of buffers that whole we're the start to the castle, we're the place to stay, and we get identified more with the castle. In addition to that, there was the tour that we did last year, which was an oyster tour where the people go back to the oyster beds and then they had lunch at Mark Tognazzini's dockside where he was incredible. That was unbelievable. That was a phenomenal tour, and that was partnered with Oyster Ridge Winery. And in addition, we would be adding a kayak tour of up to 26 people. And after talking with Josh, those would have been separate, but they've never done a kayak tour, and they think that an adventure tour really fits with how Sunset would do. And so what we're going to do is we talked to him, and Saver has agreed to marry those two costs into one for us. So I thought that that was really a good way to market us, because it gives us the cruising luxury on the Lost Isle, and then it gives us the kayak adventure side of the aquaculture. And then there's the booth. Now, last year our booth was a 10 by 30, and they offer a 10 by 10 with our sponsorship, and then if we wanted to go to a 10 by 20, it would be an additional $1,000 to take it up for each 10 feet. So that's where that number is, out to the side. The chef battle, which I would say if anyone saw the Battle of the Bay in person or saw the Battle of the Bay in video, it was super popular and really great and well done. And my hat's off to John Sorgenfrey again for that idea. That was a really great brainstorming idea that came out and worked really well for Morro Bay.
And I just stole it from Chopped, but...
Well, we were all brainstorming. What are we going to do with that? And then John said, how about a battle? So $2,500 for that again, which is what we paid, I believe, last year. And then Morro Bay listed as, and this is the one we would take separate, Morro Bay listed as the official oyster sponsor would be $5,000. Morro Bay listed as the official seafood sponsor would be $10,000. And then I believe we can figure out whether we would divide that up between fish and oysters, or all fish, or all oysters, whatever the board would decide. So that's the one that you would take separately. And as you can see, Josh Heiser is here from Saver. In case we have any questions, he has come all the way back down. So in addition to that, we get... And this was something, I meant to ask Josh about and I didn't, which was last year we had a full-page ad in the brochure, and this year it said that it was a half-a-page ad in the book. Can you tell me about that?
We could probably do a full-page ad again.
We could. With hitting the 25,000, it would go to the full page. Is that what you're saying, if we hit that 20?
Yes, at the 25.
Yeah. Okay, which is a full sponsorship, a gold sponsor. Okay,
and he just gave you a deal because we paid $750 more, and it'd be a full page last year.
So. I'm sorry, say that again.
I said he just gave you a deal because we paid $750 last year to have a full page.
We did. Okay, good. Well, see, and then as gold sponsors, we also receive, and this is new this year, Morro Bay chefs featured in the marketplace. So we can, and I don't fully understand that, so maybe Josh can answer that for me. There's 2 days of marketplace out there, is that correct?
Right, at the main event, the marketplace is where the wine and food, main wine and food pairing was last year. So what we would do is sign the chefs from Morro Bay with your logo or something on the sign above them.
Okay, and would they rotate in and out with other chefs, or would they have like a set area?
Yeah, so we would choose two chefs that would do the 2 days, basically.
Okay.
So.
Okay, and then Morro Bay listed in the local event. Thank you, Morro Bay and all public relations announcements. And then it says 4 guest passes to VIP events. I had talked on Michelle's question. Michelle had a question about that, so I had talked to Josh about that. And that is actually going to six total of VIP events, and that is so that we can have a tourism presence at the Paso Glow, the kickoff event, so that we have a Morro Bay presence when the events are held as satellite events in other cities. We can put a Morro Bay presence into those rooms to talk about our lovely city with all of the travel writers and everybody who attends these events. Banner in the Central Coast Pavilion, two VIP parking passes, Morro Bay logo on the event website, and links to morrobay.org from the Saver site. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. And we're working on trying to also link the hero shot to your website this year as well.
So they tap on the hero shot and it goes to morrobay.org. Yes. Okay. Oh, that would be great.
I have a couple questions. Mm-hmm. When we do the kayak tours and the oyster tours and the, I think that's it here for right now. Who covers the insurance for these people? I'm just curious.
We have, the companies that are doing these tours already have their, we're using people who do tours, so they have their own insurance.
The kayak companies and stuff like
right.
that. Have you already contacted them?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're trying to work with your local kayak person here that will be doing the tours.
Okay. And then also, I think I just have a question. I think it's more for the board. At one time, we were talking about a two-day event because that would really help the hoteliers. Is that off the plate?
Or? No, that's the one that we'll be bringing back a report to you.
Okay.
We're talking about holding a finale event here on Sunday
right.
night.
That's
and so that's still in the works, but that's a huge project for this board, for Saver, for Sunset,
uh-huh.
and for an additional. So that
okay.
it's just the wheels are turning
okay.
on it right now.
Right.
And then lastly, I was going to ask this board, or since Joan's been talking with Saver about this, and this has nothing to do with Saver, because we're getting the restaurants involved in the marketplace, and we're doing a lot of sponsors for the oysters and the fish, is the CPC funding any of this or no? Have they been asked or no?
They have not been asked, and it's not really in their budget. They don't really have the budget to do that. And again, this is one of those things that when we market this, that I mean, just the hero shot alone that we paid for last year. How many?
We're at about 250 million media impressions for Saver at this point.
So 250 million media impressions for that hero shot of The Rock over the past year. You know, it's one of those things that benefits the entire city, yes. You know, is it goodwill? Yes. Is it totally worth it to the hoteliers? Absolutely, in my mind. I mean, huge yes, giant yes. A yes the size of the Hollywood sign.
One thing I want to comment too, just that the board's probably not aware of, the VCB this year, in collaboration with Saver, they're now doing sponsor packages as well for the hoteliers, and that's something that we can make sure that the board's aware of. But depending on the size of your hotel, you can sponsor, I believe if it's under 30 rooms, you can sponsor for $250, and you get 20% off of the prices of tickets, so you can package and do some package deals. So I know that was one thing this year that's new that I think will really benefit the hoteliers, to get the hoteliers involved to sell the packages and get people to stay in your hotel and then go to the Saver event. So I think that's something new, and I believe it was $1,000 if you were over 30 rooms. So again, that's something that's going to be a direct benefit to the hoteliers.
Yeah, and once we decide what level we're sponsoring at, we can get that information from Molly. I still see Molly out there. She hasn't had her baby yet. she's sitting over there, though. And so we can get that information from Molly, and that's one of the things that the packaging subcommittee can do together, or we can put it out on the back end of our website. You know, we even have the hotels meeting the BID stakeholders luncheon and annual report next week that we can bring that opportunity up to them at and explain that to them. So there's all kinds of ways to get that information out to get that to them, but this is a huge win for hotels.
I think the packaging, and I've talked to Josh a little bit about that, I think that's really going to be the key. Because I think that will get more people to stay in Morro Bay, which of course is everybody's goal, but it'll also help to sell tickets, and it'll help to sell tickets to out-of-market people, which I'm sure is your goal and everybody's goal, to have more out-of-market people come. So I think that would be really important to try to get more aggressive on getting these packages with the hotels.
And this, agreed.
And the Sunset commitment for their marketing piece in the magazine is about $350,000. So we're doing the ads will be full run. They publish actually five different magazines each month. A lot of the editorial is the same, but each of those magazines goes to specific markets. So last year, the Saver ad ran in the two California issues. This year, it will run full run in all five issues. So they've really expanded what they're doing as far as the marketing. They've also hired a marketing contractor in the LA market who is going to be doing specific Saver marketing in the LA market to bring people up.
So, Nick, are there any questions on what the subcommittee has put together?
Well, I'm not familiar with the hero shot. Does that mean that we would get the rock again in all like we
mm-hmm.
did last year?
Everything okay. on the tickets to all the events, on okay. the VIP passes, it's right. on the posters, the parking pass, and all the next to Cat Cora's face on the, the ads.
No, it sounds really good.
Okay.
If I may, I understand that you can't discuss the oyster
right.
Component of it, but maybe Michelle, you could talk to that.
Can we move to that after we? The I just discussion. Want to really remove myself completely, like gone.
Okay. Well, I have another question on the budget before, because it may concern the motion. Then the total is $26,000 if we do the oyster sponsor. And it's $5,000 more if we do the seafood fish sponsor. So that, is that correct? It's $10,000 more? Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
That's right. It's $10,000 more. So
that's
it was my understanding. It was my understanding from Josh that it's $10,000 for the seafood fish.
Correct.
And $5,000 for oysters, and that's just for everyone's knowledge.
So that would be 5,000 more from.
Would it be 5,000 more for fish?
I think we could probably combine those two if you wanted to. Like, the way we kind of did it last year is we positioned chefs with seafood from the seafood sponsor. Also, one of the Cat Cora seminars was done with seafood because of the seafood sponsor. So we basically placed that sponsor in their product at strategic places throughout the event. And so that's kind of what the seafood sponsorship was, mm-hmm. which was a separate kind of line item for seafood. Because of the oyster tours, we had discussed, oh, maybe we can just do oysters instead of doing seafood. So let's come up with if we just are the oyster sponsor, that would be $5,000. And I understand what you're saying. So does $10,000 get you oysters, because oysters are seafood? And the seafood. So, and I think we could probably combine those. So it's an extra $5,000, really.
So we should keep talking about budgets, because we keep getting really good
deals.
Deals.
So, yeah. Maybe I should sit down.
God
I could get Molly
you.
Up here.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
And so the budget.
I have another question, too. Now, do we have to, if we make a motion to support Saver, and then for the $26,000, then we would have to come back and have another motion to do the oyster seafood?
No. So here, I'll make a motion and then you'll hear it.
It's 21.
Yeah, so I would like to make a motion that, and well, actually, before I do that, Josh, so if we did everything on the list, which would be the Harrow shot, the oyster tour, both tours, kayak tour, do the additional booth, the chef battle at the main event,
we're going to leave the oyster stuff out for now, do a full-page ad, get 8 guest passes to the VIP events, so we can... 8.
Okay.
Then, while we're doing deals, then we would be at 21,000 minus the fish. Yeah, because this 26 includes the 5, so minus... Or I'm sorry, minus the oysters and the fish, just taking all fish and oysters out. That would be at 21,000. Right. So I would like to make a motion that if Josh could agree to the 8, and the reason I asked for the 8 VIP tickets is because then we could have somebody at each event, which would be the 6 for the events, 2 for us to give away on our website, which would be for a giveaway.
Yeah, like an ultimate getaway.
Like an ultimate getaway.
That's something we discussed.
So that's what I would like to see. If possible, and if Josh would agree to that, then I would make a motion, and that would be my motion. Yes, okay.
I will agree to that.
Okay, so I would like to make a motion then that we would do Savor for 21,000, which includes the Hero Shot, the Oyster Tour, the Kayak Tour, the additional booth, which would be the 10 by 20 booth, the Chef Battle at the main event. We would be full page ad and 8, and then we would be adding the guest passes to 8.
Second.
The only thing I would like to see before we, for me, is the positioning of that Hero Shot. I remember from the poster that there's like 3 or 4 spaces for that Hero Shot. I'd like for us to be able to have first dibs, since we did the Hero Shot last year, first dibs on the positioning of our rock.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep. We're in development of the ads right now, so
okay.
I could probably get something to you tomorrow with the ad direction, and you can just let me know where you want it to be placed.
Perfect. And that sounds great.
Okay. So can you send that to John?
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Brian.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, good.
Now, in the motion, did you say a 10 by 20 booth?
Yes. Yes.
We're not doing the additional 1,000 for the 10 by 30.
We are, because right now the additional booth was 10 by 10 free. So if we want to add it to a 10 by 20, it's going to be 1,000.
Okay.
So we were going to drop about 10 feet off of our booth from last year.
And we need to choose our booth space right away.
Yeah.
Because I understand they're doing positioning.
Yes.
So if we do this, we'll have to go back as a subcommittee. Okay. So
and that map is done, so I can send that map to John, too, and we can pick a good spot for you.
And then this would come back to the subcommittee.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second on the table. Is there any more discussion on that?
I have a discussion.
Yes.
As I understand it, the way this was presented, if we had approved $26,000, it would have included...
We're going to go back to that, Jane.
Okay, wait a minute. It would have been included as a gold sponsor of everything listed as a gold sponsor, except it's the 8 passes, but
right.
All the list.
Right.
And also, and I know we're going to go back to the thing, but I just wanted to say that oysters is what Morro Bay is about, so I wouldn't have any problem if you just went ahead and put it 26,000.
She can't vote on that, so we're going to come back to that, and we're going to make a new motion for that oyster.
Okay.
You're right. I'm with you 100%. We just can't have it on the vote because of Joan.
We have a motion and a second on the table. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. I will step down for the next portion of this, which is regarding the oysters and fish. And Michelle, Vice Chair Michelle Hawkins will take over.
I don't know if we need to beat a dead horse and go on for discussion. So I would just go as far as saying I agree with you, Jane. I think that oysters is who we are. So I think we should do the $5,000 in oyster sponsorship and then just do $5,000 in oyster sponsorship.
I second.
Could I add one comment?
Yes.
if they agree to that, so then could we use that branding to say, like, Morro Bay official oyster sponsor of the Sunset Savor event on our ads?
Yeah, I think we can work that out with you as far as how we position that.
Because that's worth
$5,000.
Right. Exactly.
To be able to, more than that, probably, to be able to do that.
You know, and I don't know how people feel about the fish sponsorship, but
I'm a little hesitant with that personally, but of course it's for discussion.
Yeah, I would have liked to have heard a little more information on the fish or seafood sponsorship before we committed more money in that direction, primarily because we talked about maybe doing open house on boats, some of the fishing boats or tea beers, something like that. And I don't know that anybody's approached the Fishermen's Association or anything at this point, so maybe at some point we could go back and if committee does a little more work on what that would give us, as opposed to just the oysters. I think the oysters are definitely a break.
Josh, can you tell us a little bit about the fish? Last year it was Central Coast Seafood, correct?
Last year it was Central Coast Seafood. They gave us $5,000 cash and $10,000 worth of product. We then placed that product with Tyler Florence for one of his things. Also placed it with the Seafood Watch people in Monterey Bay Aquarium with their chef, and also two other chefs in the marketplace used their products, and they had their marketing material at all those positions, basically.
So by being the full seafood sponsor, if we were to do the full 10,000 and do you have anybody else that's looking into seafood sponsor?
Central Coast Seafood is looking at it again.
Okay. Anybody, any other discussion? Do you guys, I kind of like that idea, Karen, though, of opening the boats and the piers, and I think that's very, I like it, but I know, isn't there a little bit of issue with, well, not only insurance, but with the whole seafood watch and?
Well, the whole event is sustainable. So Seafood Watch is back this year, and they're bringing Cindy Paulson, who is their executive chef, down from, she has three restaurants in Napa Valley. She's coming down to be their chef this year. We do need to keep it from the Sunset branding perspective, this as a sustainable event, and that's why we're partnering with the Seafood Watch people.
Keep in mind that it's the same as this Harbor Festival weekend, too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I think that I'd like to make a motion for $5,000 for the oyster, for us to do additional $5,000. Did we already do a motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Further discussion?
Will we have the opportunity to revisit the seafood component of it?
Sure.
If we wanted to bring it up as a board, Central Coast Seafood doesn't come through, maybe Josh could come back and let us know.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
That was my point.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Great.
Thank you. Thank you all for your support. This is a mammoth event to put on, and just like the VCB, we need everybody kind of working together to really put this thing on. So I really appreciate all the work that everybody does on this event. So thank you.
And thank you. I know you guys did a great job last year, and I know this year will be even better. So
thank you.
Joan and I are looking forward to working hard, and we're going to pull all you TBID members again next year. So remember that, because it's a lot of work.
Thanks for your flexibility, too.
Thank you. Okay.
Appreciate the additions.
Thanks, Josh. Okay, so off we go to, I'm sorry, we did A and B, and we moved all the unfinished business. I have to get back into the groove here. So we're on C, continued discussion on stakeholder annual report meeting and luncheon. And for that, I will turn it over to myself. And I passed out a copy of, did I pass that out, a copy of the banquet event order? I did not. No, that's not it. I'll pass you down. Oops, excuse me. Back there, AGP. I'll pass you down a copy of the banquet event order. Basically, it's just telling you what the menu is. We are holding our annual report and luncheon at the Inn at Morro Bay. Okay, hoteliers out there watching, this is really important for you to come and be able to communicate with us. Your board will be broken up in the room. We will be sitting at different tables. Community promotion board members are coming. We will be having a report by TJA Advertising on where we have spent the hoteliers' money over the past 12 to 18 months. And we will be getting a survey out to all of the hoteliers via, is it SurveyMonkey? Zoomerang, sorry, via Zoomerang, not to plug any survey place, but it's going to be coming to you electronically. So if you could please fill out the survey. It takes less than 5 minutes. I did a draft copy last night in like 2 minutes, and I even thought about my answers. And so if you can just do that so that we have the information back and we're able to present it back to you on next Thursday's meeting, that would be really, really lovely. And if you don't fill it out the first time, I believe Craig is going to harass you the second time. And if you don't fill it out the second time,
he's going to
harass you again the third time. And then I think you like
Guido with a 2x4.
Yeah, he comes visits you. Okay, so that is where we're at with that. And so TBID members, if I could ask you our time is projected to be 11:30 a.m. to 1:30, if I could just ask the TBID board to show up there about 11:15 so we can get our thoughts organized and get ourselves pulled together. So TBID board, I'm asking you for 11:15 participation at the Inn at Morro Bay next Thursday. That's the report on the luncheon, unless anybody has anything else from the luncheon committee. Okay, and oh, it looks like we're going to come in a little bit under budget. Mm-hmm. Always making Member Beeman happy with that statement. Okay, and so that is the report on C. On D, consideration of revision to the motion made at the 6/24/2011 TBID meeting regarding the funding of the visitor center for the. I'm sorry, did it say it is supposed to be 2010?
Oops.
And that's okay. We got it. We caught it. Everybody change that to 2010, please. Consideration of of revision to the motion made at the 6/24/2010 TBID meeting regarding the funding of the visitor center.
I think Member Hawkes and I are going to be really disappointed to have this actually finished. We've been carrying this on our agenda for some time. So in a nutshell, the motion that was approved at your 24th meeting was not did not indicate the board's intent, from what I understand. I went, actually listened to the tape again yesterday, and part of the motion that we didn't get written down, and then as a result you didn't approve, was a comment from, or was part of the motion that Michelle, Member Hawkes made, and she included, after funding the visitor center, she included with notation of establishing a board of directors at the visitor center. Those are the words that she used, and I think her intent was to have some oversight. I won't speak for her, but what we're asking for you to do today is you certainly have an availability to amend this motion in any way you see fit, and I'm happy to read the motion. And I meant to have copies, but this is the motion that was approved. From your 24th meeting, Michelle Hawkes moved the Tourism Business Improvement District recommend no increase to transient occupancy tax, increasing the TBID from 2% to 3%, funding the visitor center at 24% as soon as the TBID was changed from 2 to 3%, fund the Visitors and Conference Bureau at $24,477 and AGP at $6,000. Member Hawkes further recommended the city to take a look at vacation rentals, RV parks, restaurants, and retail for further inclusion. That was seconded by Member Mendoza. But then you had a discussion, and Member Hawkes amended her motion to fund 33% of the visitor center. And what got missed is any discussion of oversight. So that's what we're bringing back for you today, and you can certainly let us know where you want to insert that, if that's the board's discussion, and we'll go ahead and bring that back. My apologies.
Michelle, I'm going to turn that to you.
You know, pretty much just for me, I personally would just like to see that amendment in there about us having some type of oversight. I don't know if it needs to go as far as a full board oversight or just some type of oversight, you know, if we're putting funding into this visitor center. And for me personally, it's not even a monetary issue. It's just I feel that we should be, you know, we serve the visitors. We're very, very visitor serving in what we do daily. And I think it would be helpful if we could have a little bit of, you know, cohesiveness to help. I think a great example was this packaging committee that just recently went. You know, I just think it would be nice for us to have a little bit of way to have some type of oversight on what's going on at the visitor center. You know, I'm not talking totally micromanaging and overhauling what they're doing, just to be able to you know, have our fingers in the play a little bit about what they're doing, and maybe we've got some ways to be more efficient, and or maybe they're doing everything just efficiently as needs to be done, and maybe we have nothing to say, but it'd be nice for us just to have a little bit of our fingers in the mix in somehow. So that was what that discussion was about back then. And that's, I would like to see some type of amendment to the council letting them know that we're here to try to want to help the visitor center and let them know also too what we're expecting. I think, you know, we don't, they may not even know what we're expecting, and how are we going to give them that expectations if we don't have some type of oversight?
Now, does the chamber board, do they oversee the visitor center, or is the visitor center, maybe that would be for Craig.
Actually, yes. Through the staff, we share staff both with the chamber and the visitor center. Mm-hmm. I've only been here a short time, but I think you know me well enough that anybody that has a constructive criticism or an idea, we look at that seriously and try and implement it right away. So I'm open to providing you with any opportunity to come and provide input on the visitor center or any type of financial information about how we're spending your dollars. I'm totally open to that.
Because I was just suggesting, but I just realized that Craig's on this board also, but if we had another member on from this board on the chamber board.
I'm on the chamber board.
Okay, there you go.
And Andrea also is on the chamber board.
Andrea, that's right. Hi, Andrea. Andrea is also on the chamber.
Since the chamber has like a contract to run the visitor center, it's my understanding, does the visitor center itself, that which is basically the same as the staff of the chamber, have like any monthly meeting or anything for specifically directed to visitor center?
Not specifically to that. We do weekly staff meetings where we discuss, you know, issues all across the board with regards to chamber and the visitor center.
And how about the budget process for chamber and visitor? Does that go through the chamber's board of directors? Or
that goes to the city. It also goes to the chamber board of directors, yes. We do monthly reports. We have a new reporting system now with our finances that is a compiled report that separates the chamber and the visitor center side. That information is provided both to the chamber board and to the city. And what we're doing now is we're going to be reporting to the TBID board copies of any invoices that we submit to the city for reimbursement from TBID funds, so that you know the reports are a little confusing. The financial report's a little confusing, but if you actually have the invoices that we're submitting for reimbursement from TBID, you'll see exactly what you're paying for. There are none in this month's report because we did not submit any invoices during the month of February.
I do want to say, I want to remind the board that in the recommendations that we put forward for the visitor center to the council, I believe that there was a recommendation there, and if somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that there was a recommendation in there that there be a TBID board member, and it may have been an executive board member on the chamber board, or it may have been just a member on the chamber board. It's unclear to me now in trying to remember. In that recommendation as well, and that was moved in a motion. And so I'm not sure, Member Hawkes, are you looking to just have your motion corrected so that it says exactly what you were, exactly your first motion, and then just to have the monetary correction made, or so that you would have included all those things as originally read by Ms. Luker, and then have the correction of the 33%. Is that what?
No, the correction of the 33% is there. It was a second motion, or she amended her motion. So that's all. The only thing that may need to happen today is if the board is interested in adding in some sort of oversight. Well, whatever, you can do whatever you want, but the one that's missing is the oversight component.
And what exactly did she say regarding oversight? Can you just read that oversight section back? Because when you read the whole thing back, I mean,
yeah, what I had was with notation, so it happened after increasing the TBID from 2 to 3%, funding the visitor center at 24%. Remember, it's changed later. And then at that point, Member Hawkes added, with notation of, I believe it said, reestablishing a board of directors at the visitor center.
I have a couple of questions. Of course.
First of all, when the city council approved it, did they do the 30% stopgap at 50,000?
They did 50,000.
So that equals 33%.
No, 33% I think is about 52,000.
Okay, so but 50,000, it's a stopgap on that. I was just curious.
Yes.
Okay. So regarding the accountability, I don't. We are not there to oversee the visitor center, you know, to take control or anything like that. But just like we lend money, or not, we donate money to Morro Bay. We don't do that. There's no reason why we can't have an accountability via monthly expenditure reports. So I think that would be great if they could do that monthly coming to us, and then we'll see where the money's spent. But one of the things I do have to bring up is I know that you, that Craig indicated that there are weekly staff meetings, which I appreciate, but we also discuss that sometimes some of the visitor staff is not at those meetings. So what Craig does is he personally informs visitor center staff as to what goes on in the meetings if they're not at these weekly staff meetings.
So to answer back to Joan, I would just like there to be, personally, and now after thinking about it for, I don't know, 8 months, maybe, so I probably changed it, but if we're changing it, why not change it now? You know, maybe, and this is just for discussion, it, we have a TBID member sit on the, that it's written in that a TBID member sits on the executive board for the chamber.
I believe that recommendation, I believe that's one of the recommendations that was in regarding the visitor center full report that we did, and that it's going to count on, and isn't that around the 8th of the month of next month? Or the 10th of the month or something?
That was in a recommendation. The council didn't do anything with that, but they really don't have the ability to do that because it's really a chamber issue.
Oh.
So that certainly is something that could be taken to the chamber. Currently, I sit on the executive board of the chamber.
Okay.
So there
maybe
is
that's what got changed. I thought I remember there was something about the executive board.
There is a loop there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that would take a change in the chamber's bylaws to be able to allow that in the discussion with the chamber board.
I also like Jane's idea of just maybe having a, you know, kind of like we get visitor center stats maybe. And I don't even know if I'd want to say I need it monthly. I could even say quarterly would be okay with me. I'm not out here to look at what they're doing minute. And I think that's great. I love that we would start to see bills for what we pay for. I think that is a big thing, and I really like that. Because I do always wonder, and you see certain things and you question it. So I think that's a really great change to come forward out of this. And again, this is all new to all of us, so it's all trying to just blend it all together. And my intention wasn't to be like, we want all this power to do something. We just wanted to have some type of feedback. And, you know, that's what I meant by oversight, was having us part of that loop that we per se. And that's great that Andrea is in the loop, but I don't know if we feel like we're always in the loop.
I think when this first came forward, too, there wasn't a big loop. It was just kind of an open-ended funnel, and we were trying to figure out what was going on. So now that there's a loop and we've got better communication, we have an ED who's, you know, here, and he shows up and he's engaged, I think it's a lot. It's moving forward. You know, are there things we can do, like see the bills? Absolutely. Do we need to change this motion? Not. It's to me, I think we all get the intent of the motion. I think most importantly, besides us getting the intent of the motion, you know, Craig is here, and Craig gets the full scope of the whole thing, and I think that's our most important stopgap that we have.
It's all about working together and communicating.
So it's up to you, Michelle, but if there's nothing else that we need to do, I don't see any. It's up to you, Michelle, but if you want to move to go back to your original or to change the motion somehow.
All I would like to do is just state for the record that I do think it would be important for us to get monthly accountability. I don't want to see any bills. But also in that accountability, the people at the visitor center give every day they tell you how many walk-ins there are, how many mailers they send out, and how many phone calls. And I'd like to see that monthly.
Actually, you're provided that information monthly in the visitor center report. I can break it down to daily if you would like to see the trends over
the
week or
over the
seasons.
Yeah, but we haven't been getting that.
Well, you have. I think you have been since I've been here.
Okay.
I think the last 2 months, maybe three, we have been. Personally, for me, I would still like to see an amendment to my motion just so that it's clear and it's there and just stating what, so that there's no clarification. So
put it out there.
I make a motion that we amend to as what I had said. I just want verbatim what I said. I'm not, that's all I want.
So we will be adding after, just so we're clear, so we don't have to come back again.
That's right.
After funding the visitor center at 24%, again, we went to 33%, with notation of reestablishing a board of directors at the visitor center.
See, and that's not what I want. I think we should just have an amendment that states that we have some type of report that's put in monthly, which if you're already going to do that, that could be what it is. Just what worries me is that if Craig leaves tomorrow, not to say he will, we get a new ED that then doesn't know that we expect.
Yeah.
Just make writing. A separate, you could certainly, I would encourage you to just make a separate motion. We'll okay. Leave this how it is, and if you can make a separate motion under this item, specifically what you're okay. Looking for, that would be great.
Okay, so the current, what you're looking for then is the current report to include a quarterly financial report, to include the bills, what's spent monthly, and maybe to include a single memo once a month. Craig, this would be really good. I think this would answer Member Beeman's concerns. If you did like a single memo once a month that, you know, maybe, or you brought quarterly those memos that you do once a month to the visitor center staff showing them all of the things that the TBID have discussed that affects them, like the trade show things or the any of those communications that need to go. If you can just, you know, do a quick overview to them.
Be happy to.
Yeah, and that way, or, you know, supply them with the minutes from the meeting or something like that that shows what affects them so that they know, so that there's a full communication loop. So is that what you're looking for? Okay, is there a motion on that?
So moved. I make that motion. Andrea, you want
I
me
would
to
love for you to succinctly restate that.
Okay.
Restate that to help me out.
So the motion would be that, shall we have this full report quarterly, or do you want it monthly, folks? Okay, so monthly.
I'm providing
fine.
It monthly,
it's
so
easy.
I'll just continue doing
so
that.
So monthly, we would ask that the visitor center report include, the visitor center report include the bills. It would also include a correspondence from the ED to the staff showing all of the reports that would affect them. The trade show, for example, the trade show report, for example, any marketing reports that would affect how they would communicate with the visitor. Anything that would
packaging
affect how they would, that's correct.
Such, yes.
Anything that would affect how they would communicate with the visitor.
And also visitor count reports.
And visitor count reports, which we already get, and a quarterly financial report. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
Is that so moved by an individual?
I had so moved earlier. You were just restating.
I was restating.
So
I'm
we
sorry.
Need a second.
I'll second.
Is there any more discussion?
I'll be abstaining.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None?
Abstain.
One abstaining? Did we get that?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Andrea, for coming back to us with that. Okay, and so that is D done. We move up to 5, the monthly reports, and we start with the trade show subcommittee report. But let me see something. Hang on 1 second. The trade show subcommittee report. I'm sorry, I was just checking on something. We met. Here's your report. We met regarding Saver. We also met regarding the trade show booth, which we're really considering what trade shows we're going to go to next year. We've talked about limiting the amount of trade shows that we go to and maybe partnering with the VCB and Molly, who is expectant to go to to go to some trade shows with the VCB. And Michelle has contacted them to find out what trade shows they go to, so I'll let her speak to that.
So currently they're going to Pow Wow, they go to the Sunset, they do NTA, and they do Cal SAE. But it is going to be, they will be, with their new marketing plan coming in to effect for the next year, they will actually be sitting down and reevaluating which trade shows they're going to for the following year. There's been some interest in the San Diego show. They don't do the LA travel show. The VCB has says we could definitely partner in with them. So I think that it would be probably best for this board to just kind of hold off on spending too much money on a traditional booth, because I think if we could partner in with the county on some of theirs and maybe just bring some props, maybe we spend some money on some props like our surfboard idea. We've got a few other prop ideas that we could just then move and partner in to, because, you know, a lot of these booths, like the sunset booth, you're not going to use the same traditional booth that you would use for some of these others.
You're talking about the Saver booth.
The Saver, yeah, Sunset Saver.
So we've got Sunset Saver, and then we've got this. I'm sorry.
We have Sunset Saver, and then we have the Sunset Show, and those are untraditional. And
right.
Powwow, you don't sit down to with the trade show booth. It's kind of like speed dating. So there's all these different.
NTA's the speed
dating. NTA's speed dating. That's right.
I apologize. NTA's the one that Molly cannot represent us on, but she could represent us on any of the others. And that will be going before the VCB as to what shows they're going to go to, and then the partner opportunities would come out from that. But I think that Joan and I had kind of talked about, you know, why spend all this money on a traditional booth? You know, why would you spend $5,000 or $6,000 on a booth that maybe you only go to one or two show a year? And do we consider still going to those one or two shows? It doesn't seem that trade shows now are as effective as they were, say, 10 years ago with, you know, a lot of people going to the website to get information, and, you know, the information highway is a little different now than it was 10 years ago. So
we talked about, yeah, the $20,000 that or so that, you know, it would take for us to attend trade shows, the trade shows that are not tied into, like, the Saver event, but to attend, like, a traditional trade show in San Diego, let's say, and develop a booth. So the development of the booth is $6,000 or $7,000, and then the trade show itself is another $3,000. So we're $10,000 into that, and maybe we see 1,100 clients. Would it be more effective for us to do a banner ad on TripAdvisor or on an OTA? So, you know, that's the kind of thing that we're, you know, talking about weighing right now. So
Could I just make a comment?
Yes,
I
please.
Was in that meeting as
please,
well,
please.
I think that kind of what we came out of it, which I think is a good idea, is maybe we assemble some nice pieces, you know, that we can kind of have flexibility with. So if we go to a particular show, very easily with a couple of nice pop-ups, I'm sure you've all seen those. They're really light. You know, they go into a base and you pull them up and you've got a nice design, you know, maybe like one or two of those. And then just some nice blow-ups of some of our, you know, like our hero shot, for instance. As you recall, we did that in the Saver. You know, we really, the Saver booth was a collection of a lot of different pieces, and I think that could be done. The traditional, you know, trade show booth that you set up and you assemble and it's kind of restricted by size, I think if we just had a few nice pieces that we could utilize. I like Joan's idea originally about, you know, still going to like our current events that we have in town and having some kind of booth there. You could do that with a couple of just nice little pieces, a couple of those pop-ups and kind of go from there, because I think that's kind of the way to go. I still think that going to the Sunset Show up in Palo Alto is a value. I think that would be good to co-op that, but I also think there is some value of having your own thing there. But we could easily create our booth by a couple of those pop-ups and some things on easels and, you know, just being creative with it. And then, you know, the LA Times trade show, as you all know, I'm going down there tomorrow to set it up, and then Saturday and Sunday with Rochelle. So, you know, I can come back and report to you, you know, my view of it. I know in the past, I haven't gone for a couple of years. I used to think it was effective, but I'll be real, you know, honest and sincere with you if I think it's, you know, a waste of time or if it's a value. I'm sure there is some value because we do get a lot of people. It is our target. But you just never know. I know you went to the San Diego show. We all thought that was going to be like a great market for us, and we didn't feel like it. We had a couple of those. You're at 1,400. Then we would, you know, blow up a couple of ads, which we've done in the past. I mean, those are nominal, a couple $100. So it's significant. And, you know, the other thing, you know, Karen, it's like that booth that we have, we got a lot of use out of. But the only thing about those pieces is, you know, that we store them then and they would be able to be kept clean. And when you got a whole booth, it tends to get a little more damaged because you've got a whole other crew setting it up. And You know, because usually, like down in LA, I mean, they set the booth up and they take it in and they bang it around and everything else. So, my only hope is that we get one more use out of this booth, because it's pretty close to being on its last legs.
Well, let's wait for a report then back from John about the LA Times travel show. But we did budget some money aside for a new booth, and we'll probably start down the road of considering the components and considering what that would look like, and then go from there. So that was basically the full scope of our trade show subcommittee report. We have this LA Times trade show that's coming up this weekend, and then we have the Sunset, is it called Festival Weekend? What is it called? Up at in
Palo Alto.
Celebration. Sunset Celebration Weekend in June.
With these trade shows,
Michelle and I will be attending that.
Excuse me. With these trade shows, when we do giveaways or contest entries, do we end up adding a significant number of entrants to our database?
Yeah, I would hope that, you know, when we go down to this show, I mean, there's usually we get 400 or 500. You know, I would hope we get at least that. And we put those onto the email newsletter. And usually the only way to drive that is through an overnight stay, so we are planning on bringing one of those down and having a drawing and encouraging people to sign up.
One of the things that I've often thought that the trade show subcommittee should look at is the current events that we have here in Morro Bay. For example, if we had a booth at the car show weekend. Car show weekend brings, like, what is it, 15,000 people in? And last year I was walking around down there and I was listening to all the announcements. It was Kenny Vesterfeld announcing on the overhead. I was listening to all the announcements. Thank you to so-and-so for sponsoring this car. Thank you that car. Thank you A&W Root Beer, such and such. And what I didn't hear was step over to the Morro Bay booth and
exact offer in mind right now, but, you know, work out something where come back and visit us and get a discount, you know, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Because we know they're here for that one purpose, but that's one reason why we have these events, because we want them to come fall in love and then come back at another time. And I think doing something like that is like, we want you back, you know, here's, and we can also actually do that with an email. You know, we could take those separate people that signed up at the booth, then send them an email saying, hey, we want you to come back, here's a coupon, or here's a discount, or here's a package, just for our returning guests.
Yeah. So that's something that I would like us to look at as a board, is the marketing at our own events. Because I did it last year as a trial at 4th of July. And what did I sign up, like 400, 500 yeah, people on one day through our booth with my friends who were visiting from out of town. I sat down there all day getting it. They were just so sweet. So that's our trade show subcommittee report, and we will maybe Craig will get together and discuss marketing at the current events for future events. Okay, and then review of transient occupancy reports, and I just am going to turn to those right now. Hang on. And did everybody have an opportunity to look over their TOT reports? So the collections for January with two hotels that had not reported for monthly TOT was at 31% with 918, 31% occupancy rate for January with 918 guest rooms. And it shows that our BID money that was collected was $19,817.44. And our total overall TOT tax, including trailer parks and vacation rentals, was $76,618, but just the hotel motel part was $66,058.13. And I do have a question going back to the annual report in June for the year 9-10. I keep seeing this one little star out there. I see those hash signs where there's notation down at the bottom. One motel has not turned in receipts. One motel is on a payment plan. I'm wondering if from November, December, and January, if that motel that was on a payment plan ever completely paid, and whether the one motel that hadn't paid in June ever completely paid. That's just a question I get, that one hadn't paid, and then looks like they caught up for July, August, and September, but it looks like maybe it was a different one in June or something that was outstanding. So I was just curious about that. So that was my big curiosity. And that would be it for the TOT report, unless anybody has any questions. Okay, so we'll accept the TOT report for file, and we'll move back to agenda. And now we move to C, John Sorgenfrey for the TJ Advertising Agency report. John?
Thank you. I wanted to kind of start with the budget, because I'm still working with Andrea to kind of come back with you with a full accounting, because what we need to do is we need to take the, we still have yet to do the other 1% collection that started up, and we need to take the $50,000. I need to put that as a line item on your budget, the $50,000. It's prep 50, right, for the visitor center. So we can look at that and have it complete. As far as the budget that I passed out, and I'll go ahead and pass this out, but I'll just tell you that it does not reflect that, because I'm still working with the city to figure out exactly what the collections were as we added that 1%, and then I haven't physically been able to take it out of the budget because I didn't do that. The city did that. So I need to go back and sit with the city finance and probably work this out to where we have a complete budget, because we need to know how much we have in addition, because this does not reflect any of the added 1% collection. So there is going to be more money here, but I don't know how much more money till I can take out the 50 and then do the, it's like a math problem, a long story math problem. And I need Andrea's help to help me solve this math problem. But I promise to have that for you by April. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead, and this was suggested by the budget subcommittee, is put in that line item, just like we have for Saver, we have the VCB, we have that 50,000. It's already spent, so we need to account that. And then the other items that we talked about, like a video and some of the other things that we've put in that we wanted to do with this budget, I'll put those in as all line items as well. And then I'll have a full breakdown of the fire sale budget so we can see exactly what came out of the fire sale budget. So I think in April, and I think I will in April have a budget, because I need it myself to figure out, you know, where we're at and what we have left to spend between now and June. I'm comfortable that we're on budget. We have not, we've spent everything that has been allocated and approved by you as far as media. I need to now work out this math problem of the extra 1%, subtract the 50, and so we have a real realistic budget to look from.
I have a question too, and this might be for Andrew. I wanted clarification on, so yeah.
So just as you plan your, you know, your June budget, then that item won't be, have to be subtracted out too. So, or excuse me, not June budget, but going past June.
So as we did figures in that budget subcommittee, I just want to remind the board that, you know, we started doing that. So we missed the whole high season of collections. So when we looked at that, we're only talking, we think, somewhere between like $7,000 and probably $10,000 extra dollars once the $50,000 is gone. That's what we're projecting. So we're, yeah, so 7176 is kind of what we projected, but we're going to wait to hear back, as John said.
And you will still obviously collect, you know, for April, May, and June as well. So we can, you know, we'll forecast those monies in as well. It's just a little bit more work that needs to be done to really have a solid, accurate reading of it. But from the standpoint of the advertising budget, irrespective of the 1%, which we never factored into this as yet, and we're on budget, so I think we're in good shape. I would just say that a couple of things came up in the promotions committee that I think would affect the BID, so you might want to maybe consider putting these on your agenda for next time. Janice, our former mayor, would really like to have a greater emphasis on having companies come here and film. And what her idea was, and this would be funded predominantly by the promotions committee, but we wanted to get the BID's support on this as well, would be to have a separate place on the website, so like a film scout or somebody that's looking at locations excuse me, could come onto the website, could view some of the different settings. I was thinking that it would be great to shoot some videos and actually, you know, take them to different parts around Morro Bay, different settings that they might want to say they're looking for, like a, you know, a New England fishing setting, or they're looking for, you know, the sand spit, or they're looking for whatever it might be. We'd give them several scenarios, and then they could just go in and look at each video. The other thing would be, as we talked about trade shows, there is a very big trade show for location scouts in LA. So good news is it's in LA. But looking at sending her down to go to that or possibly somebody else. So I just bring it up because I think it's a good idea, and I think it's something that probably the promotions committee will pretty much fund, but I think it's important for the BID. So as we get closer on it, like when she would go to that show, we'd want to have her bring, you know, aspects of lodging, because that's another part of the a scout looking at what, you know, what affordability is in that particular setting and all that. So I just bring that up, you know, from her background, and I just think it's good for you guys to know about that. I think it'll be helpful on the website. We talked about the U.S. Airways spread with the co-op. That co-op is now underway. The first one was U.S. Airways. We're in the process of Sunset Magazine, and the online and also print components will be in April and May, as was the proposal. We're also doing an online campaign in San Jose Mercury News and Los Angeles Times, again, as per that program. That'll start April 1. One of the advantages of being involved in that is I'm mirroring all of your advertising to coincide, so we run on the coattails of that co-op campaign. And that's being done because we'll have efforts in San Jose and also the Los Angeles Times. The other thing that I want to talk about was 4th of July. We did, out of the promotions committee budget, we ran a couple of ads to promote the luau. There was a real feeling by the 4th of July committee that they wanted to spend a little bit of their money to advertise the events, because if they didn't have the money to do the event, then there wouldn't be any 4th of July. So that made sense. We're talking about a few hundred dollars to run some local ads for the luau. And then, as you know, we've kind of got some momentum going on our packaging now. And Jane might be able to report a little bit more about that, but we are seeing some results from that. We're trying to work ahead now for April and May and get some different packages. I know Joan was a big supporter of this, as well as everybody else, of trying to get that events packaging newsletter out for packages and specials. We've been sending that out on a monthly basis now. We also send out our monthly event newsletter once a month, so people are getting a couple of newsletters from us a month. We haven't seen anybody really opt out, so that's a good thing. They obviously like getting those. And we are continuing to increase the list. Also, I'll bring Rick up to give you a lot of things about the website, but I will say that one of the other committees that that should take place, not real thrilled about this committee, but it's a reality. You probably ought to think about having a transition subcommittee. And it was actually my idea. And what I would suggest is a couple people from promotions and a couple people from this board. And again, you might just, we don't have to have it right now, but I think maybe put it on your agenda for next month and talk about that, because we want to have that smooth transition. And I think having a subcommittee,
as we pile the pile together, I've got a whole bunch of logins, passwords, accounts to pass on. And one of the things that the subcommittee is aware of, the website subcommittee, is that we were basically moving away from the database environment to a non-database environment. So I had some things that we talked about over time, refresh your memory. The email list is now under our control. It's not part of the database. Also, we worked on just recently is the chamber has its own calendar on its side. I've worked with Craig on that. We've got that taken care of. That was relatively easy. My biggest challenge was what to do with the photo contest, because the photo contest has been popular. It is it's really database intensive. And what I came up with is we're going to port the contest over to the Travelog. The Travelog, remember, is built on a WordPress operating system, so there is a plug-in to run a photo contest much like it is now, but there's a really interesting feature that we're going to leverage out with social media. The fact that, you know, like Craig can come onto the site and upload a photo. Okay, we capture his email address, but then Karen comes on the website and can vote for her favorite photos. In order to do that, she's got to give us her email address. So in other words, now we can really build the list up for, you know, just on that alone could add more in. And I feel if Karen gives us her email for voting for the contest, I feel we could at least send her one, you know, special or event, depending on the sequence, she can opt out of it if she wants to, but we've got a valid email address, and what the voting does is it actually confirms it. So it says, Karen goes over, I want to vote for Craig's picture, and da-da-da-da-da, sends it. The program sends Karen an email saying, Karen, please validate your vote. So we've got an actually great email address, which we didn't have before when we inherited the email list from Elements. They didn't have this feature where John could sit there and vote, you know, enter the contest 20 times. And so we had a lot of duplicate emails. Now we've got a really tight email list. It sits at about 7,000 plus. And like John said, there was only less than 1% opt out of our last email blast that we sent out. The specials that we just sent out had was really good. Had 500 clicks on the specials to your lodging sites, which is another source of click-throughs, which could lead to conversions for room rates.
I just wanted to say one other thing about the photo contest. What we're going to do too, to try to get more fans on Facebook. We're going to start proud of their photos. They want to make sure it gets on. They also want to win the contest, which of course is another reason to get them to come. So we do those drawings. We seek out the prizes, and then we award the prizes, and then follow up with them. So that again will be part of kind of like a little package that we can provide. But I think the photo contest is a good example of how social media can work, because it's one thing to do like Foursquare and some of the other things that were talked about. Some of those are great for like an individual restaurant or something. But as far as using the social media and having people actually socially interact, which is really where social media works, is this photo contest has been great. And again, I think Morro Bay's got this unique selling point, because when people come here, it's really pretty and they want to take pictures. So I think putting it on Facebook's going to be really cool too, and I think we can start doing even more polling with that.
Yeah, we're going to give you an example here of how our social media works. I've got a little printout here that I'll pass out in a second, and it's social media program comparisons. And what we did is we took and looked at six entities outside of our area: Santa Barbara VCB, the Newport CVB, Monterey CVB, the Visit California, the state website, the Santa Cruz CVB, and the Solvang CVB, and stacked them up in about Facebook fans, YouTube video posted, YouTube video views, and Twitter followers. And then we put in all the six local people. So I'm going to pass this out. This falls right along what John is saying here. And just really quick, one of the things to remember too is the Facebook. We started relatively on a good time, but there was a lot of other Facebooks that were competing with Morro Bay. So, but you can still see with our Facebook fans, we're second in the local area, just a notch ahead above the VCB. What I'm most proud of is the YouTube video views, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the 31,000 competes with almost everybody in the state except for Visit California and Classic California. But one of the things to remember, John came up with the Discover Morro Bay in 60 seconds. It is on our homepage right now. But if you flip over to the second page, I'll run through real quick how all this integrates just for this one video. The Morro Bay in 60 seconds is on YouTube. We loaded it up on YouTube. Then I go over and I embedded it on the homepage of morrobay.org. It's done very well, and it's, you know, it's got a lot of, you know, the music and everything like that. And right now it's got 741. So when I did this 2 days ago, it had 703. So it is as close as Morro Bay has come to a viral video that we've got because of the, you know, at, when I first
and
put
it's
it
only
up,
been on a few days.
Yeah. So. And there's the web statistics. If you scroll down a little bit, you can see there's the web data right there that I just reproduced. So anyway, that shows you how we can leverage some of our social media. Now, one of the things that came up.
Rick, one of the things that we're going to do, as you saw, the Discovery of Better Nature, let us show you the way. We'll probably need to talk with the creative subcommittee about how far we want to take that print campaign, because we're kind of waning in toward the end on that. But we are slowly putting all of those videos on YouTube, because basically they're working. This was the first one, so we'll start putting all the different ones that you saw, because I don't think anybody had a problem with any of those. And I think it's going to be interesting because, you know, one of the emphases we've had this last year, but one that we proposed to do more of was video, because YouTube now, as we've said before, is the second most search engine next to Google. And I don't know about you guys, but when I go on a trip, I mean, I try to go on YouTube. I can look at the place. I can view the hotel. I can see the hotel rooms. I can, you know, look at the restaurants, all the different things on a town that I'm unfamiliar with. And I think going on YouTube and utilizing these videos, because the cost of the videos is really the only cost, because it's free to insert on YouTube. And so we're going to, between now and the end of June, we really want to try to get all those videos up and get them placed.
The last page is basically, I heard when we were at the city council meeting the other day, demographics, you know, who are we talking to? So what I did is I went to the Facebook Insights and just basically printed out what was there. And you can see, first of all, the gender and age breakdown. We got 2/3 female, 1/3 male. And then there's the age groups. And this is if you play fair with Facebook and you actually put your real age in Facebook and your profile and you actually put in your real city of residence. Okay, and so there, and you can see there's your gender and age breakdown, but you can also see the cities. And if you look at back into the cities report that John sends you out each month from Google Analytics, it follows right alongside. So that's a really good insight on who you're speaking to. And last but not least, so late. Cool.
It's great. The demographics, I just want to point out to the board here, when you take Pleasanton, San Jose, and Santa Clara, and you combine them, that number comes in higher than Los Angeles. So we're talking about that Bay Area, that Silicon Valley market that we've been marketing to. That is a really strong market for us, because that area is basically the size of Los Angeles, that Silicon Valley area. And I just, looking at that, I'm going, oh my goodness, that San Jose, Pleasanton, and
you're right
Santa
on there,
Clara,
Joan. You're right on, Joan. If you were to take a 3-hour drive time and make a concentric circle out from Morro Bay, that's who you talk to. That's where you got to, you know, leverage everything you can in that area, because that's who you could see it in Facebook. You can see it on Google Analytics. That's who you're talking to. So,
and just in regards to target audience, because I know that you guys are aware that we have our target, and the target is basically a drive market, the Northern California, the San Joaquin Valley, Southern California. It's an empty nester that doesn't have children, that can still travel in the midweek and off season. But I did send the council an email just to tell them that is our target, and that's what we've been focusing the advertising on. I think one thing you'll see that Rick didn't mention as far as web stats, Fresno became our top referral city, and also the Fresno Bee. We are doing an online campaign with the Fresno Bee right now, so that's always encouraging when we see that. I sent out that pop-up, I think, about a month ago of the creative that we did. So when you go on the site, that ad, it doesn't pop up in your face like the old pop-ups, but it actually just grows when you click on it, and it reveals itself. And we got a good feedback from the rep there at the Fresno Bee, and as far as the stats, one thing that we'll be seeing, and we just started it just within a few days ago, is San Jose Mercury. We're doing a campaign there, and also we're going to be having a campaign on the LA Times. Also what we're doing with the promotions committee, we've got ads in Bakersfield Life and the Fresno Bee, and there we promoted the events. We did the chili cook-off, and we'll be doing the other events that are coming up, so working with Craig's team on that. So, but the stats are holding their own. I think you mentioned Rick, what might be valuable when we started the BID, the website was
well. When I first came on, and I was the one that, you know, with you and I talking about it, we got Google Analytics running, right? And when I did it, the very first month, we were averaging 250 visitors a day. Now for the,
I think the Facebook too. Just to conclude with that, we really did. We were kind of disappointed with how the progress of that was going, because there were so many other Facebooks. But I honestly think we're kind of over that hurdle now by encouraging other fans to join this one, because we've had a couple hundred fans join just in a really relatively short period of time. And when we did Pismos, we had about, I think we started with about, what was it, about 6,000 or 7,000?
6,000 or 7,000 we inherited.
6,000 or 7,000 fans, and we kind of took that over. And it was sort of similar, that it was kind of slow, and then all of a sudden it just went nuts, and now it's almost 22,000. And I'm hoping by the end of June, and I don't want to keep bringing that as a benchmark, but it's reality, that we really have those fans up, because I'm starting to see this Facebook thing really start to get over this hump. And it was frustrating because we were seeing Pismos go up, and I know, I think Karen, you asked that question, you know, how come there's this difference? But I think it's a matter of time. And Facebook is so bizarre that it's like once you hit this little niche and you get enough people talking with each other and they invite their other friends. I think I might have shared this with you. My daughter had a bet with a friend that she couldn't get, I think it was 1,000 friends on her cat's Facebook. Well, now she has like 6,000 fans. I mean, these are cats all over the world. And I only bring that up because it just shows you what the techniques you can use to get people to respond. But I'm encouraged by Moral Bays. I think that now we've got enough of the other people who had Facebook working with us that I'm hoping that we'll see some real number
and
increase.
And building our mailing list is a key function right now. You build that up, we send out every mailing's got to join, you know, fan us right here, like us over here type of thing. So, you know, it all's integrated so tightly. But, you know, once now we've got 2,000 people that are looking at us through Facebook instead of 600. So, you know, it's easier to do a multiple.
One other thing just on the
Thank
website, and then again, this will probably go back to the website subcommittee, and I mentioned this to the promotions committee. We probably need a meeting to talk about. We were going to talk about, you know, totally redesigning the site. I don't think that's probably appropriate, but what we do want to do is get all the videos like we talked about and, you know, all of that functioning. So we have plenty to do with the website, but I don't think, and I'll take the direction from the website subcommittee, because I think if we did that, we might be halfway through it, and that probably wouldn't be good. And then your other agencies, I'm sure, going to want to, you know, have an input on what the design looks like. So
thank you, John. Great report, great statistics, and good progress forward.
Basically, March Taffy's Tuesdays and the various discount packages, which were 20% off weekdays and 25% off of one night on a two-night weekend stay, which was Thursday through Sunday, is being, I think, well-received. I don't know. I know that our establishment is getting a lot of requests, and from people that haven't been there before, and I think it's the click-through through the special pages. So I think that's pretty good. One of the things we learned about the Taffy Tuesday certificates is that the hoteliers were given these and they really don't have any instructions on how to use them. Hopefully, you know, I think when we do this again, that we need to have specific instructions packaged with these certificates, and also all the hotels should stamp the backside of these so that we can track them when they're turned in. Now, I did go to Krill's, and they do have some back, which is really great. So, again, these are given out to anybody that stay on, make a reservation on a Tuesday night. They can be redeemed Tuesday and Wednesday only. But one of the things that we really wanted to also mention was that we would like to see the visitor center open on Sundays after 2 o'clock, and I talked to Craig about that, and we do need volunteer staff to be able to man that, and so that's something that we're going to have to work on. I mean, Sundays is a travel day for many people, and especially with weekday packages, we're going to have more people coming in during the weekday discounts than not. We want to work towards packages, a minimum of 4 months in the forward. People plan their vacations in advance. We are continuing with the existing promotions through April. That's the 20% and the 25% off. If any of the hotels want to jump on the bandwagon with that, we encourage them to do so. And we're going to make this report also at the March 24th luncheon. In May, we see a lot of spring travelers. The two suggestions we have for May and June is to work towards a gas campaign, but we're going to have to really get involved in that a little bit to see how that's going to work. And also review our, you know, use of funds also. but it's our committee's opinion that late October through mid-June are the months that require substantial help to fill midweek stays. And so we really need to look at developing not just packages, but cross promotions with the retail community. The end.
I think the gas one's really something that, as Jane said, it could get a little complicated, but I think we really need to think about that. I mean, I filled up my car, and I think maybe I was just kind of cheating and filling it up when it was half full so I didn't feel so bad. Well, then I finally filled it up when it was empty, and it was really pretty staggering. So, you know, I think it has to be significant enough, probably $20. It's pretty easily controlled because of the size of our town. If they go to a, you know, one of our local gas stations and maybe make that a requirement, that also helps sales tax. But I think we should probably really start seriously talking about it now, because I think it'll take a little while to figure it out and promote it. And I think that you're right, absolutely right, Jane, about the instructions. I think that I'm perfectly willing to admit, I think this, the taffy one kind of got away from us at the agency. I think we could have done a better job of communicating and getting it out sooner. And I think from now on, I love the idea of like a little instruction sheet that goes along with each package, because the worst thing in the world, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here because you're hoteliers and business people, is to have a customer take advantage of something and then have somebody go, well, I don't know about that, or, you know, I'm not honoring that. You know, we never want that to happen, because that's a disaster. So I'm going to work real hard on that and get every package we have come out with little instructions as well.
One of the things, just to talk about the gas campaign, which is really interesting, because I've actually called people in different cities, and you know, the gas here is more expensive than in LA, more expensive than in other areas. So it would be really interesting to put together something like, you say, $20, but how much of that does the T-bid take on? It's going to be really expensive. So it'd be more of maybe something that we would, like, if we say 20, you know, we'll give you back $20. That's going to affect, though, the money we take in for T-bid. Even though we don't underwrite it, we're doing it again. So once again, it's going to be pretty tricky. I do think it's a powerful campaign because it's on everybody's mind. And we are a travel by car.
Stacks wine thing, you know, they're actually giving $5 back to us. So those types of packages might be the route that we want to go in a little bit too. I think the gas is great, but I think, you know, I want to air this board to be careful. I don't want to be paying for, I don't want my money to go back into paying for things out of our money. I'd rather see it go into more marketing and promotions, the dollar amounts. I think we need to try to find some creative packages that don't cost us money.
I think the T-Bid's participation in that type of campaign has to be strictly from the marketing through the website position.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the hoteliers can choose whether to participate or not, like they did with this day two, get a third for free, and the cost is on them.
Okay, then.
Can I add to Jane's report? I'm part of that committee also. With regards to the visitor center and Sunday hours, we are looking for volunteers to cover those extra hours, so just put that out to all the folks out there in TV land and on this board. We talked about doing some test Sundays during several times during the year, during event times, and just to see what the traffic count is, to see if it's worthwhile for us to have the additional expenditures to have Sunday coverage. So again, looking for volunteers, friendly, happy people. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig. Good announcement.
Okay, so the creative, thank you for the hotel packaging subcommittee. We look forward to your proposals next month. And then the creative subcommittee did not meet. Public relations subcommittee did not meet. Tourism business and no, H did not meet. And I would say, Andrea, may I say, do we want to look at taking H off? Because that was really to examine the percentage that came back to a 33%, $50,000, and to look at what we were looking for as far as fulfillment. Would that be something we could remove, or would we need a motion to remove
it? It would
that?
Be great to have a motion to remove that.
Okay, so we no longer really have, we have a budget subcommittee. We don't really have an H any longer.
So I would look for a motion to remove the Tourism Business Improvement District Percentage Subcommittee from our subcommittees so that we have one less thing to track.
I make a motion that we no longer need a monthly report for Tourism Business Improvement District Percentage Subcommittee.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor? Discussion?
And I did attend. A couple things. I'm going to not take up too much time because it's late. Real quick, we John, I think, touched on this earlier. We got 24 pages for the U.S. Airways for the county, which I thought was remarkable. Another thing that was really interesting, there's a brand new welcome center that has just been is started up, will be in Salinas. And that was, I thought, something that was interesting because we had talked about maybe a welcome center here in Morro Bay. There's a new one starting in Salinas, which will be it's the California Welcome Centers. It's not on Highway 1, no. I'm just letting you know that it's a brand new one that just opened up. Another thing, too, and this is going back to packaging subcommittee. You may want to listen into this one. September, thinking a few months out ahead, will be the wine month, not only on the county level, but on a state level. We may want to try to somehow get ourselves in on that one. So I'll throw that out there to you guys. And also a great thing that was really interesting, and John, I'll touch base with you on this a little. You probably know a little bit about it already. The state of California was there yesterday, and they did a great big presentation about, and this is again why the VCB is so important to us. The VCB spends, you know, some money with the state of California, but they, you know, they have a $50 million budget for their marketing efforts. The state does, and we get to be part of that. And visitcalifornia.com, there is a way that we can upload pictures and experiences and all of these things onto their website, and they gave me that HTTP thing of how we can do that. So I just thought that was interesting. Another thing that was great out of that California thing is they are forecasting for 2011, and obviously this forecast was before the earthquake in Japan, but they are forecasting a 3% increase to tourism in 2011 domestically and 6% increase internationally. So I thought that was a little bit interesting as well out of that. And California, what California's big promotion and marketing thing is going to be the California lifestyle, food, wine, sustainability, friendly, come live the California experience, California lifestyle, which I think is something exactly that we fit right into. So I think we've been doing that with our marketing. So those are pretty much the main reports that I would have out of the VCB. But again, it goes back to that collaboration of how we get piggybacked onto this big $50 million budget under the VCB umbrella.
If I could just mention that we are working with them. We have sent them photographs. We have sent them copy. Joan brought this to my attention, excuse me, some time ago because it's really, you know, if we don't give them the information, they don't put it on. But I will tell you, I'm on them, believe me, because they've been very, I mean, you go and you give them the photographs and the copy. Yeah, but that's how we're working that. But we actually have a contact there now, which is good, a human being that's actually, you know, we can go back and say, how come this isn't up and stuff. But we're on it because I think Morro Bay is going to get neglected on that site.
One last thing, too. We got some coverage, and I went and looked at it. So it didn't really do Morro Bay, but it went kind of to the whole county, and it was about best family spring break trips. We got coverage in Travel and Leisure Online and MSNBC, which was, I think, kind of some neat coverage. And of course, Sunset Magazine has been covering us as well. So just a couple other coverage things.
One of the coverage things that that I missed from when we reported earlier was that if you go to Surfer Magazine, in the back of Surfer Magazine, there is a two-page, it's a full, like, centerfold almost, but it doesn't fold out. It's a full shot of Morro Rock from the north, and the caption on it is "The Perfect Day," and it's incredible sunset shot. And it talks about how this guy, all the surfers were coming out, and the wind was onshore, and then it switched to offshore, and he went out and had like the surf of a lifetime here in Morro Bay. And it's a picture of Morro Rock. It is an incredible shot. And we've often talked about advertising in Surfer Magazine, and we haven't done it because it's so cotton pick and expensive. I mean, it's like hugely expensive.
I can tell you, though, and it may have changed. This is a long, long, long time ago. But the demographic for Surfer, and again, this is a long time ago. It's really young.
Yeah.
Really young.
And it's not, it doesn't, you know, for us when we do Travel 15 Beyond or National Geographic Travel or those, it's a broader range of people who see that magazine. And it's surfing as a, you know, it's a macro culture around here, but it's a micro culture in most places in the world. And but to have that two pages like that, I encourage you to pick it up and look at it. So, yeah, this month's Surfer Magazine. Okay, so fulfillment, thank you, everyone. Fulfillment subcommittee did not meet. That gets us through our monthly reports. We'll accept those for file. And then we move to new business. And look at that, A, selection of a chair and vice chair. For that, I'll open up to the board for comments.
Am I correct in assuming that the vice chair was selected with the intention that they move up to the chair position? Is that in our bylaws or our structure or anything?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do we have anything where it's, you know, in every other board I've ever been on with cities, they...
So do we open them up as a bundle, like vice chair and chair together? Okay, so we'll open it up. Okay, so we'll open up for the chair position.
Michelle, would you hate me forever if I nominated you?
You know, I wouldn't hate you forever. maybe for a minute second. But, you know, this discussion's kind of, for me, you know, that would be great to take chair. I don't think Joan wants to step down. Or I would want to question if she wanted to step down, first off. And second, you know, I couldn't, that I know the number of hours she works. And I could not put in those number of hours. I just physically don't have enough hours in my day. So as far as running a meeting, I would have no problem running the meeting and being the chair to run the meetings. You know, but I know there's a lot of other stuff that comes with. So I think I would want to know what the exact responsibility is of the chair, because if she's going to still be doing all the work she's doing, I think whether it's chair or vice chair or how that works, that's kind of up to you guys. But I mean, I don't have a problem running a meeting, but I do have a problem doing all the work she does.
And Joan is a pretty special person, and I agree that it's going to be hard to find someone to repeat everything that Joan has done.
Yeah. So, and it would probably, I would be curious to be who that vice chair is. I mean, you know, if I chaired, I would have to say I would mandatorily make her vice chair because she does everything. So, I mean, if you want me to run your meeting here, fine. But to do all that extra work, unfortunately, Joan's the best one for that job of doing all the work, unless somebody else wants to step up to do all that work. But I just cannot commit to doing more than my 10 to 20 hours a week. I'm already, 10 to 20 hours is already quite a bit. I mean, my Fridays, I don't know if anybody knows, I don't work Fridays. My Fridays are usually committed to trying to get through a lot of this stuff with my daughter, of course, at tow. But... Joan and I talk, and she tries to not bug me on Fridays, but I mean, a lot of times my Fridays are dedicated to kind of this stuff, and we know how many meetings, I mean, we spend a good 10 to 20 hours myself, and I know she spends probably double me, if not triple. So that's where I would be out on that. You know, I would get direction from the board on where they're going on that. So.
Too bad we don't have a bleep sign. I could say something like Steven Tyler would on American Idol. Joan is nuts for all the time that she puts in. But I think it's up to Joan and actually you. If Joan doesn't want to step down and Joan wants to continue, I don't think it's anybody's job on this board to take on what they don't want to take on, whether they were
sorry. I mean, we're in the middle of all kinds of changes and stuff like that, and I see the workload this year probably for all of us on this board increasing rather than decreasing exponentially out from the chair's position. Right now, looking back and forth, I think I have the smallest hotel on the board, and I can manage some of that from my office and through my office staff. And I hope my husband didn't hear that. I would, if you're interested in having, it doesn't matter to me. If you're interested in having me back, I'll come back and I'll do it. But I you know, I don't want to do it without the board's support either. So it's just, it's where you guys are at. Because I've always been about having a nice, supported board. That's what I feel is the most important thing.
I would just like to say something else, and that is not to speak for Joan, but we are going to have some other committees come up, and I think it's important that some of us take on other responsibility and Joan doesn't take on any more, so that when we come up with a committee for the transition. It's not Joan on it. It's some of us. Let go of it also, which I think would be really important. So.
I'd just like to say that I think we've been very lucky to have the strong leadership that we have for the last year and a half, and I'm very happy to hear that the leadership is the chair and vice chair are willing to take it on again, because it is a huge commitment, and I appreciate that.
Well, I'll make a motion that we have.
I think there's an, I'm sorry, I believe there's, I don't know if it was a nomination or not. What I have in my notes is that there was there a nomination for Michelle as chair? Okay.
I'll continue with my motion to make Joan our, to stay on as president and Michelle as our VP.
Second.
Is there any, I'm sorry, is there any discussion further? No? All those in favor? And then do we vote? Would we vote, Michelle and I?
Well, you're changing the procedure, which
is
fine.
Oh, that's right. It was supposed
to
be
need
one
not,
and one.
It's clear you're going to leave the things the way they are, so it's fine to make a motion. If there was a nomination and somebody else was interested, but it sounds like you're all in consensus, so you can just make a motion. It's fine.
So is there
a second? We have a second.
There was a second?
I seconded it. Yeah.
Okay. Hoteliers website to all the hoteliers, letting them know that this opportunity exists to advertise on the trolley and to benefit both filling the trolley and making it look nice and occupied with the advertising space. It's a win for the city, and then also the proceeds go to the Morro Bay Community Foundation. Would we be in favor of doing that? It doesn't cost us anything.
I think we should maybe send an email out and then as well as put it on the BID news side.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then that way it would be something where we could maybe send an email out letting them know about it all, and then the information could be on that BID side of the website.
Available to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That would be my recommendation. Is that a...
I think we need a motion. Do we need a... We need a motion.
So I would like to make a motion that we have the letter regarding the trolley advertisement partnership program with the Morro Bay Community Foundation emailed out to all of the hoteliers as well as added to the BID side of the website.
Second.
All in favor, or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And so we'll make that letter available to you, John, via electronics, I guess.
Okay.
And okay. And then declaration of future agenda items. We have to put on our future agenda items a transition committee and the film commission. That I have those two things.
I would like to add a report on the marketing contract to see how that's going.
I think that'll. Is that going to be
the marketing contract committee? Will be going to the city council for approval as soon as it's negotiated. So we can bring back a status report. I'm not
yeah,
sure it's
that's
a,
fine.
An agenda
just
item. We're happy
a status
to report
on that. And did you say developing a subcommittee?
Yes.
On the transition?
Subcommittee on transition and film commission. That's not a subcommittee. That is she's a conversation regarding how or if we would support a film
commission.
Yeah,
I think if you had it on your agenda, then if you wanted to take any action, you could. Maybe I could ask, if you'd like, I can ask Janice to maybe come and give you like her...
A report
about that.
Little information. Okay.
And then I would like to put on the agenda a discussion about method of budget reporting.
Okay. And then I'll just bring back at the next meeting what I have for everybody on who's on what subcommittee. Okay.
You might want to do a report on the after our. That meeting we're having, the luncheon.
Yeah. A report back, mm-hmm. a follow-up
yeah.
on the luncheon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that's just follow-up. Okay, great. I would look for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. No. I always...